This program is made possible by the friends and partners of Unspeakable Joy.
Amos chapter 8 and verse number 11. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread nor of thirst for water, but of hearing the words of God. They shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. In that day shall the fair virgins and the young men faint for thirst. It'll get so bad in those last days, you won't be able to find God, won't be able to find the word of God. It'll be so bad that the strongest, hardest back people, the young people, will faint. In verse number 14, the Bible says, and they that swear by the sin of Samaria and say, thy God, O Dan, liveth, and the manor of Beersheba liveth, even they shall fall, never rise again. Whenever Amos writes, Amos is not a preacher. Amos is not a pastor. Amos is not a prophet. Amos is an old sheep farmer from the backwoods of Tekoa on the other side of Bethlehem. He's not somebody that knows about the deep things of God. He's not somebody that knows about the riches of Israel's history. He's just an old farmer. And one day God comes to old Amos and says, Amos, I've got a word and I want to give you 9 chapters. I'm going to give you 9 different prophecies about what I'm going to do to the northern kingdom. Amos writes, and in that prophecy he says, the northern kingdom is going to be overthrown and destroyed. Now, when Amos writes that, it is unfathomable that that would happen. They're at the peak of their power, they're at the zenith of their ability. They're at the height of their economic power. They've never had more land. They've never had more military might. But Amos says, God has declared you will be overthrown. And in 50 short years after Amos writes, that exact thing happens. When Sennacherib and the Assyrian army marches down, overthrows Samaria, sends the 10 northern tribes into captivity. Now, this is what Amos says. He says, you'll know the end is near because a famine will come upon the land. And when everybody hears the word famine, their minds go into hyperdrive and warp speed because they think, what are we going to do? I've got to have bread and I've got to have water. I've got to have the things that fill my physical belly. God says, don't worry, that last day's famine, it will have nothing to do with your physical man. It will be a famine of hearing the word of God. It will have everything to do with the spiritual. What did our Lord say? He said, an hour that ye think not, behold, the Son of Man will come. It'll be an hour when they're eating and drinking and giving in marriage like they were in the days of Noah. It'll be a day when they're going to and from throughout the whole earth like they were in the days of Lot. People will be eating, people will be drinking, people will be marrying, but yet there'll be a famine that runs across the land in the last days. It will be a famine, Amos said, of hearing the word of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, you've got to understand, history repeats itself. History is not a timeline. History is a circular pattern. As nations rise, nations fall. It's not just one nation that does it. Every nation rises the same way and every nation falls the same way. God says the end of every nation will be when they have a lack of hearing the word of God. People will run to and fro and you won't be able to find God. That's how you know when the end is near. When you cannot find God anywhere in that land, brothers and sisters, it does not take an ophthalmologist to look around and see that we are beginning to arrive in those days. There's plenty of bread. Well, there used to be plenty of bread, and there's plenty of water. Don't give it too much longer. The losers in Washington and the lug nuts in Raleigh, they'll have the whole thing messed up before it's all said and done. Did that offend you? Let me back on up and say it one more time. The low-life politicians that don't care about you or your family or the nation, they will run this thing into the ground before it's all said and done. You know why? Because the nation that forgets God will be turned into hell on earth. You can't take the creator of life out of the equation and have life. You can't take the creator and giver of good things out of the equation and still have good things. But you'll know the end is near because there'll be a famine of hearing the word of the living God. Brothers and sisters, we are in that day today. What does that mean? You say, but preacher, I've got a Bible in my hand. How can there be a famine of hearing the word of God? Brothers and sisters, you've got to understand, without the quickening power of the Spirit of God, those are just words on pages. What makes that the word of God is that it came out of the mouth of the Holy Spirit of God. And if the Spirit of God doesn't open up the mind of a person, you can't fathom that book. It's just about a little short shepherd and a big tall giant. It's just a fairy tale about a man in the belly of a whale. But when the quickening power of the Spirit of God comes on that book and comes on that preacher, there will be an overabundance of glory. But in the last days, there'll be a famine. Be a dearth in the land. What does that mean? There'll be a famine. I got three little things. I'll give them to you right quickly. What does it mean there's a famine of hearing the word of God? Number one, here's the first word, destitute. Destitute. What does that mean? That means in the last days of Israel, you could find bread, and you could find water, you could find fruit, you could find vineyards, you could find animals, but you know what you could not find? You couldn't find God anywhere. You could find a man that could tell you how to grow grapes, but you couldn't find a man to tell you how to find God. You could find a man that would tell you how to balance your checkbook, but you couldn't find a real preacher that would be faithful to the word of the living God. Brothers and sisters, you go into any bookstore. My wife wanted to go shopping last week, and so me and Mason, we walked around. We went into the bookstore, and I mean, I walk up and down the aisles. You never know what you're going to find in there. I'm wanting to be on Pawn Stars one day, finding that real, real fantastically famous old book, and you're going to find it in a bookstore. So I go in all these old bookstores because I want to be on Pawn Stars one day, and I'm going to find that copy of Moby Dick's first edition, and I'm going to buy it for a quarter and sell it for $400,000. Don't worry, I'll tithe on it, but I'm going to do it one day. Boys and girls, let me tell you something right now. We were in there, and there was no shortage of how to have a better marriage. There was no shortage about how to make it better in the business world. There was no shortage about how to be a better this and how to grow a better that and how to make it further in this. But I'll tell you what I could not find. I went to the religious section and I tried to find something that would tell me how to walk with God. Oh, I found how to have a better this, and I found how to have a greater that, and I found how to go higher up in that. But there was not one title on the whole shelf that told me how to seek the face of God. There'll be a destitution in the last days. You get on the internet after church, you get on the television sometime this week, and you'll find a lot of preachers. You'll find preachers that'll tell you how to have this and how to go there, and they'll get up. Some will be wearing suits, some will be in shorts, some will have dress shoes on, some will have flip-flops on, but you will find a destitution across the nation of a man that has fire in his soul and God in his bosom and leather in his lungs and a backbone like a saw log that'll tell you that there is a God in heaven, and there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. But it hasn't always been that way. When Preacher Canoy would stand here, and when J. Harold Smith would stand in these places, there were preachers everywhere, but yet they declared that the day would come when you would not find a preacher, you would not find a church that knew God, but yet their people look around and said, "You're crazy, preacher. You're crazy, doctor. How in the world could that ever come?" There's churches on every corner. There's churches everywhere. But yet today, here we are 30 years later, and you can't find a church. People in this building, some drove from the other side of Rockingham County. Some have come all the way down from the other side of Raleigh. There are people that have driven up from the upper side of Charlotte. You know why? It's not because there's not buildings that'll line the way. It's because they gotta find somewhere that'll feed that inner urge to know God, and they can't find it. There'll be a famine of hearing the Word of God. It'll just be destitute. Can I tell you something? When was the last time you, as a true blue child of God, got on your knees and said, "God, please raise up the prophets again. God, please raise up the preachers again. God, do it." Can I tell you something? What'll be worse one day when you're laying in a hospital room and your children aren't in church and your kids don't know God and you're the only one that's kept them in the barometer of right? You're the only one that's kept them in the segue of truth, and there you are, oxygen on your face. You can't tell them right from wrong. And where are you going to tell them to go? There'll be no preachers in the land. There'll be no churches in the land. There'll be anybody. There'll be nobody that'll tell them where God is. I'll tell you what you need to do right now. You need to say, "God, start planting the seed somewhere in some young man's heart. Let him get over the world. Let him get past the money. Let him get past the riches and put God in his soul and a fire in his heart. Raise up that voice again that will tell us what's right and wrong and how to find God." There'll be a destitution. Look around. Used to, when I was coming up, I first started preaching. Man, I could go to revival every single night of the week, every single week of the month, and every single month of the year. Now, if I get in one good revival a quarter, it's a miracle. And I'm the one preaching the revival. No power, no unction, no authority, no God. Here's the second word. What does that mean? There'll be a famine of the Word of God. Hearing that word, there'll be destitution. Number two, there'll be a disconnect. There'll be a disconnect. A disconnect. What does that mean? It'll be like this. The preacher will be up here running and stuttering and hawking and hacking, and all like his britches are on fire and his hair's got gasoline on it. I mean, running to and fro. And the people in the pew? "Oh, we're having fun in the house this morning." Yeah, I can remember being in church, Bob. And man, that preacher had a finger 5 miles long. He had a belly that big. And a finger is, it didn't matter where I sat in the congregation. That finger, pow, hit me on the nose, pow. Every time he said, pow. Every time, bam. Every time he said something. And I mean, he didn't really preach that good, but it felt like every word had bricks in it, and it got laid down in the back end of my soul. Every word had power and authority in it. And yet I wanted to sit there like this, but yet there was fear in my soul. There was fear in my heart. But today, there's a disconnect. There's a wall between pulpit and pew. I'm going to tell you something. I'm not a great preacher. I don't pretend to be a great preacher. But I've been in services listening to good preachers. We'll have jubilees. We'll have revivals. And I mean, I'm telling them boys, get up and absolutely cut the rug. I just know we're replacing the carpet whenever they get done. I mean, they got God all over them. People just... sit. My dad is a firefighter. A lot of guys in this room are firefighters. You know what I have found about fire? It doesn't matter how much fire is burning. Fire never burns on water. It can't burn on water. No matter how big the blaze is, you throw it in the ocean, it's out. Just like that. Do you know what this world is? This world is an extinguisher. This world is a killer. This world, and what's happened is the pews are so full of sin. And I'm not even dealing with the preachers anymore. There are so many backslidden preachers, it's not funny. I don't even deal with the preachers anymore, because you can't deal with a hard-headed, knot-headed preacher. I want to deal with the people in the pews. I want to deal with the people that have some sensitivity in their soul. Let me help you with something. I love you all, and I know you love me, so I can be honest with you. And you can be honest with me. We can't live out in this world and watch it and let the water and the intoxicating things of this world come in our heart, come in our soul, come in our thoughts, come in our ears, come in our eyes all week long. And yet when we come in the house of God and the preacher's got fire in his soul, we can't figure out why it doesn't spread. That's simple. There's a famine of hearing the word of God. There's a famine of hearing the word of God. You know, I'm fat and I know it. I'm getting there at least. Man, y'all don't even look at this. This is a girdle. This ain't a vest. It's a girdle. Y'all be quiet. Mind your business. You know, my mother cooks. Back before she had her surgery, she would cook all the time. And man, I'm praying for revival in her heart. But you know, I know she don't feel good. And this one time, Don't tell me things. I will forget it. It just happens. It's habit. I just forget it. My wife says it's because I don't care. I don't know. I wasn't listening to her. But you know, I don't understand. My mama one time, she said to me, she told me that we're having supper on Friday night. And when my mother cooks, you know, my wife grew up in that kind of family where tacos were supper. Like a taco, beef, and shredded cheese out of a pack. Okay, that was a hors d'oeuvre at my house, all right? That wasn't no meal. We didn't taco meals. Now, if you had guacamole and salsa and chips and a side of refried beans, and then you had rice, and then you had the dulce de leche, you got all, now that, we're getting closer to a meal now. My wife didn't grow up that way. So when my mother cooks, I mean, I'm talking, we kill the fatted calf, honey. I mean, it's on like a chicken bone. We ain't playing. Well, mama said to be there at 6:30. So help me, I forgot. I got hungry at like 3. Erica got home at 4, and I hadn't told her we were going to eat. You know, we were supposed to go to mama's. I'd forgotten about it. So I went to some convenience store. I am one of those. I will eat that food at those convenience stores. I don't know why. As many germ issues as I've got, but I will. And I went to Sheetz. I think it was a Sheetz or something like that. And I got that nasty cheeseburger. And I got them greasy fries. And I've got Crohn's disease, all right? So I'm telling you, you don't put that stuff in this and not expect Hiroshima to happen later on down the way. Y'all act like y'all don't deal with that kind of stuff. Oh, don't eat. I can't believe a preacher would say that. Hold on. Man, I ate that, and I got so sick. I was nauseous. I'm so sick, and I'm asking Erica for the Zofran, for the medicine, the doctor. I'm asking for it. I'm getting no relief. And you know what occurred to me at about 5:30? I'm supposed to be at my mother's in 30 minutes. And guess what we're going to have to do there? Son, we go in, and I mean, there are pork chops, there's roast beef, there are pieces of fried chicken, there is baked macaroni and cheese, there are biscuits, and I'm not talking about you new age women, hungry jack suckers. I'm talking about the real deal. And I mean, there's biscuits, she's made gravy, And I'm talking, she had absolutely done it. And I, this is like made from scratch stuff. And the second I walked in, you know what I started thinking? I got to figure out a way not to eat that. You know why? Because no matter how good that looked, and no matter how good that was, I'd already messed myself up. And no matter how good that looked, there had to be a disconnect. You know why? Because of the trash that I had let get in my system and mess me up. You see, in the last days, people won't understand why God's not talking to them. In the last days, people won't be able to fathom why God's not speaking to them. But yet the whole week, they're shoving that mess in their spirit. They're shoving that filth in their heart. They're putting that trash inside. And yet God has served up a word week in and week out. God has served up something. But there'll be a disconnect because of the filth that you put in your heart. Here's the third word. Let me give you this third word. The third word is the word disregard. It's the word disregard. People just won't care. You say, how do I know? Can I show you something? If you'll look with me in verse number 12. Laura, put verse number 12 back up there, sister. Now in verse number 11, Bob, he says there'll be a famine of hearing the word of God. Watch what it says in verse number 12. And they shall wander from sea to sea, from north even to east. Now stop. In Israel, the seas are on that side, east and west. So it says they'll run from east to west. Then look at what direction it says they'll run. They'll run from north even to east. How many points on a compass? So they're going to go from north, they'll go west, and they'll go east. What's the one direction they forgot? Remember what I said? They're the northern tribes. They're the apostate tribe. Do you know where the temple of God really is? South. The one place they knew to go to get it, they said, I can't go there. They didn't care. They knew where to go. They knew where to go to get it. They knew where to go to get the answer. They knew where to go to hear from God. Because at the very moment that Amos is there prophesying in the northern tribes, there are prophets down in the southern tribe, prophets like Isaiah, prophets like Micah, prophets that are down there. And I mean, they're preaching the word of God. But yet, here's what they said. We can't leave the comfort to go down there. We just don't even care. Can I tell you why most people will never get to where God wants them to get? Because of what they'll have to let go. They say, I don't care. But you say, preacher, I've never said I don't care. You know, I've never said to my mother, I don't care about your cooking. See, I've got some of you liberals, and y'all come out of homes, you can talk that way to your mama. I actually know what wooden spoons taste like. Yeah. That's a cap. And that's a major filling. But you say, preacher, you never tell your mama you don't care about her cooking. You know, it's not always in what you say. 9 out of 10 times, it's in what you do. And beloved, the famine of the Word of God in your family and in your life and in your marriage, it's not because you look up to God and say, I don't care about you, God. It's that you run from north to west to east, but the one place you need to be. I'm too busy. I can't do it. You see, in the last days, what the government will do, what the churches will do, they'll be rushing to do everything they can to open everything that they can. But the one place they need to open and need to really let it go, they won't do that. Why? Because you're living in the last days. And this morning in this room, our little children didn't have children's church this morning. There are little children in here. Now, I want you to imagine the day coming, and it is coming, when the preachers of God are falling off the scene, and now in every county there may be 3, 4, 5 men that really know God. What's going to happen when there's only one man in every state that knows God? We were looking at a television station in Montana the other day, Bob. One station, it covered roughly several hundred square miles. And that one station only touched 4% of the people in Montana. And you think, preacher, what in the world, what does that matter? Imagine the day when you'll drive 5 and 6 hours to hear one man that knows God. The days are coming. And it will be your children that pay. You say, preacher, what are the last days going to look like? You'll know you're living in the last days, Bob, when there'll be a famine of hearing the word of God. Here are the stages of how it happens. The stages of the last days look like this of every nation. Massive prosperity. Slow degeneration morally. There'll be a small revival bump. Then there'll be a plane. Then people won't care. And the preachers that saw that revival will die off. And then all of a sudden, we wake up one day and we're hungry and we're thirsty. And we look at our children and we say, I got to get them in church. And now they're teenagers and they don't want to go to church. Well, I'll tell you what I'd do. I'd jerk them up by the ear. They live in my house. You obviously don't have teenagers. Well, I'll do it. Well, you'll do it for a few years. And then they'll be gone. And so the time has arrived for the people of God to pray one prayer. Oh, God. Don't let that be this day. Beloved, if I told you that America would be spared, I'd lie to you. America is going to face the judgment of Almighty God. She will do it. Just like Israel will do it. Just like the people of the Old Testament had to do. They will pay for their sin. You see, the church cannot stop the judgment of God. But the church can stay the judgment of God. You say, preacher, what does that mean? Here's what it means. It means that if enough righteous people get hungry enough to see God, they can say, God, I beg of you. I know judgment is coming, just don't let it come upon me and my children. God, I know judgment's on its way. Just please keep it off one more generation. I woke up last night at 2:45. I came up here to pray. And the only thing I could think as I was walking in the sanctuary this morning praying is we cannot find our nation in that Bible. You cannot find the United States of America in that Bible. I don't care what these preachers say. It's not in there. I've read it cover to cover, up and down, in and out. It's not in there. That means that when she all blows, America is either one of two places. She's either A, right in there with the forces of the Antichrist and has been acclimated right into the whole thing. Or B, there was such a revival in the last days and so many people got born again that when the rapture happened, this nation went from a power to nobody here. I'm praying for the latter. I'm praying that in the last days there'll be an outpouring of the Spirit of God. But the last day's famine is what we're about to enter, of hearing the Word of God.